Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in this broadcast today. We're delighted to have you on board, looking forward to our dialogue and discussion together on a very important issue or a very important topic. I'm thankful that you have joined with us and looking forward to you as we have this discussion today. You can join this discussion personally by dialing 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. That telephone number gets you straight through to the studio and directly to our microphones so that we can have this discussion together today. We look forward to it. Let me remind you once again that the program is designed around you, our listener. We invite you at any time, we're on the broadcast, to call the 401-1413 and invite you to ask your questions. By the way, we are open to discuss the topic of your choice. On each of these occasions, we prefer it to stay with the line of thought that we're discussing on that broadcast, but your theological, doctrinal, biblical questions, social, political questions are open and welcome, because when we think about issues, we look at it from a central biblicist standpoint, and from the central biblicist standpoint, there's no such thing as a social life, a pleasure life, a political life, or a church life. It's all one life lived for Christ. When we look at the Word of God, He created the home, He created the government, and then He created the church, and anything in those three realms of discussion covers the entirety of the Word of God. And so we look at answers to the issues in life. We look at the Scripture, the truth of the Word of God. Jesus reminded His disciples, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I don't know of any people in any part of the globe that need the truth any more than America today in the declension that we're in. And the only way we can find truth is in the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. Jesus said that Himself in John 17:17, "Thy Word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you are searching for truth. We're delighted that you are our listeners each day that are so faithfully involved in listening. We appreciate your participation by your calling and joining in the discussion, the dialogue, and asking your questions. Before we get into the monologue and then the discussion today, I want to take a moment and invite you to worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. If you're not familiar with that, that's in the 32258 zip code. That's exactly 1 mile south of I-295. We're right here in the heart of Mandarin. We still adhere to the old gospel singing. And no, we do not participate in, and that's your choice if that's what you prefer. We do not participate in some of this contemporary rock and roll music that's got Jesus' name added to it to make it sound Christian or spiritual. And I'm not condemning those that perhaps follow that. Perhaps you've not been introduced to the old-fashioned gospel preaching and teaching. That's what we do at First Conservative Baptist Church. We are thankful for it. We're not going to apologize for it. And just as each individual has a personality, may I remind us, every church has a personality. We're searching for those to be a part of our congregation and ministry impacting lives for eternity that want to hear the truth of the Word of God. They want to learn the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know the Scripture verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, and expositor preaching, you'd be delighted to be here. We've met you on the air. We'd love to meet you in person. Sunday school hour, some call it Sunday school. We call it the Bible study hour, 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and then at 10:45 a.m. and at 7 p.m., yes, we still have the Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening worship service, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Sunday evening, our worship time. Let me cordially invite you to worship with us this Sunday. We'd love to have you to be a part of the fellowship here. And a second thing that we need to make mention of, Conservative Theological University, our university theological program of training men and women for and in ministry, began again on September the 4th. September the 4th, we start our classes. We have Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night classes. We'll have four different courses offered on the graduate, the undergraduate, the postgraduate level. We invite you to participate. Perhaps you have sensed the call of God in your life to serve in some form, some fashion, some place of ministry service. Perhaps it's pulpit ministry, perhaps it's teaching, perhaps it's Christian education or Christian counseling, or perhaps you're simply a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. You want to know the Word of God better. Let me invite you to call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's the number that reaches us around the globe. Or you can simply dial the local number, 904-262-8275. Let me touch on one thing very quickly. The orientation is September the 4th, 5:30 p.m., the first modified class, I say modified because it'll be a partial class, is on that same afternoon, that is on the 4th of September. And so we'd love to have you come and participate. Love to have you come and sit in the orientation session to see if this is what God would have you to do. But a very important announcement must be made, and I'll take just a moment from our daily broadcast to say this, for our fall semester, starting in September through parts of December, we're offering, we've got six left, only six people can participate in this program at this point from the standpoint of a 100% scholarship. Yes, you heard me right. The cost of an Associate's of Arts degree just for tuition is $9,300, and we have slots available for six students. Six is the maximum that we can take with a full 100% tuition scholarship. Now, there'll be fees and textbooks and academic costs other than your actual tuition that you'll have to pay over and above that. But the university is even set and prepared to set that up on a monthly basis for you so that you can get right into classroom and do your studies. You need to have a high school diploma or its equivalent. If you have other credits with other institutions, they are transferable, generally speaking, if they're from a like-minded, same quality university. We've been teaching men and women in ministry and for ministry since 1982. So we have a pretty seasoned background and ability in the Word of God to train you, to teach you, and to enhance what God has called you to do. So let me encourage you to call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, leave your name, address, telephone number, contact information, the degree, nomenclature, level that you would be entering at, if you know that. If you don't, just place the information on our call deck, and we will be delighted to have someone to call you back and schedule an interview appointment. We'd love to have you participate this semester for fall semester of 2018 and take advantage, ladies and gentlemen, of this wonderful offer. It's not something that we do every day. It's something that we must limit because of our simple size, and we do not take federal funding or government funding in any fashion. So therefore, we have to be very careful with the way we spend God's money or we do the offering of the scholarships, but we'd love to have you participate in this wonderful offer and opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today the Christian faith under assault, or if you want to use a subtopic, the assault on the church, the assault on the church. Well, the latest, I don't know if you're familiar with the latest or not, but there's a constant barrage of assault on the Christian church and the Christian faith and on Christians in general. But the latest assault today, ladies and gentlemen, on the Christian faith and on American heritage, and it isn't enough, it seems, that the progressives and the anti-God left like to threaten and to somehow talk about impeaching the president. But now they even continuing the drumbeat against not only the president, but now the vice president. Here's an article, and it's about CNN, the Communist Network News. CNN, or some have called it the Clinton Network News. CNN, title of this article, CNN smears Mike Pence, says he's a Christian supremacist, eager to impose religion as president. Let me just read you a blurb or two from this elongated article, and I won't bore you with all of it, just the most pertinent part for you to get the understanding of what's happening. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just do a little footnote to this before I read these little blurbs from this article. This is not unusual. What we're watching is the further decline, the absolutely disintegration of a Christian America. And it's what I'm simply calling the Christian faith under assault. But this article says CNN smears Mike Pence, says he's a Christian supremacist eager to impose religion as president. The article then opens, if impeaching Trump is the ultimate goal of the liberal media, fear-mongering about Mike Pence's presidency must also be on their minds. That seemed to be the goal of CNN Tuesday. They gushed about how Pence was really a Christian supremacist that all Americans should be worried about. And then it goes on to talk about Michael D'Antonio, who is also CNN contributor, co-author of the book Shadow President, The Truth About Mike Pence. And he explained to New Day host John Berman that Pence had been gearing up to be president ever since he joined the administration. Further, he says, after Berman noted that it was unusual for a politician to have ambition of the presidency, he asked the question about the most salacious quote from the book, where he called, quote, Mike Pence, the first Christian supremacist who could become president. Further, he pressed, after the man that's being interviewed was pressed, he said, now he's not the first committed Christian to be anywhere near the White House. I mean, there have been a lot of deeply religious figures there. Then he doubled down on his claim, saying that Pence put his religion above his political views and above politics, and he said that was frightening. Here's what he says. This is the point. I think he's a very divisive figure. He would like to impose a religiously inspired politics on our country. That means rolling back marriage equality. It means a ban on abortion. It means a whole host of politics and policies that are religiously driven. He's very upfront about that, end quote. Further, he says, Pence believed that those who didn't share their faith and belief in Christ were going to hell, and that was a shocking thing to hear from a president, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for Vice President Mike Pence. I'm thankful for his open honesty about his relationship to Jesus Christ. As you recall, when he was picked as the running mate with President Trump, Vice President Trump, President Trump at the time, candidate Trump, when he was picked, he said that it was Christ first, his family second, and his nation third. He put it in a very prioritized order, which I believe every Christian ought to view in that fashion. Yes, Vice President Pence is absolutely correct biblically. You either say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, or you will die and go to a devil's hell. And I'm thankful that he's willing to take a bold public stand on that basis. But notice what we're talking about today is the Christian faith that's under assault, the assault on the church. And it's an open frontal assault from the Clinton Network News, the Communist Network News, and the fake news in general. They have found it their goal or calling in life as a commentator or as media to simply bash anything that's called godliness, to bash anything that's called Christianity, to bash anyone that happens to be a Christian and unashamed about their relationship to Jesus. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just an assault on the vice president. It's not just an assault on Vice President Pence. I'm talking about he is the latest and the most and the highest in a profile, if you will. But we have dozens and dozens and dozens of examples that down through the quarters of the past several months and the past several years on this broadcast that I have talked about, and we have watched them. We've watched it played out. And those few that I've talked about, even though they're dozens and dozens, are simply a small microcosm of the mindset and the aura and the atmosphere in America today. We're watching the demise of the church. We're watching the increase of atheism and humanism, hedonism, and agnosticism in our nation. Now you say, why do you have to be so negative? I've heard folks talk about that you say things that are negative. Well, I want us to understand the truth of what's happening. And when Jesus Christ talked about, quote, negative things, it was not to be have any negativity. It was to be the affirmation of what we must do if we're going to be saved, if we're going to be salt and light in our society that we're living in. We must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that down through the recent years, we've had Christian bakers, cake bakers, that have been persecuted and prosecuted simply because of their faith and because of their unfailing, unfaltering faith and refusing to bow and to bend at the demands and the commands of the sodomite community and to any governmental authority that will try to in any way infringe upon their Christian rights and Christian liberties and the freedom of speech that we have that's guaranteed protection for every American in the First Amendment in our Bill of Rights. We have then Christian florists, one out on the West Coast in Oregon to be specific, that was persecuted and prosecuted, fined $135,000, and then ultimately waiting now for the Supreme Court to make a ruling on her position. And it is my prayer and desire to see total vindication, just as Jack Phillips with the Sweet Cake cake Shop in Colorado, where he was persecuted. And now they have reintroduced additional prosecution against him, even after May of this year, the Supreme Court vindicated him in his stand against the sodomite cake baking. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today Christian faith under attack. We're talking about the assault on the church. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. You can join in this dialogue and discussion simply by dialing 401-1413, 401-1413. We also have Christian wedding planners, Christians in public office, Christians in the military that's being persecuted and condemned because of their stand for Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've heard the case of a brigadier general in the military that's being persecuted and attempt by the atheist movement to put him out of military simply because of his Christian faith. Here's a little blurb from that particular case. General attacked, we're talking about a brigadier general, general attacked for Christian faith is being appealed to General Mattis, the Secretary of Defense. The article says, Brigadier General John Tesher gives his first salute to this workforce after assuming command of the 412th Test Wing July the 18th at Edwards Air Force Base. The action and rhetoric of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation toward the new commander of Edwards Air Force Base shows that despite its name, the atheist group isn't really concerned about religious freedom. Further, the article states, Weinstein, Michael Mickey Weinstein and his Military Religious Freedom Foundation filed a formal complaint earlier this month with Defense Secretary James Mattis regarding Brigadier General John Tesher, charging the officer created a public webpage and social media accounts that promote his fundamentalist, dominist Christian beliefs. The general simply posted one of his prayers, and this is what his prayer was, ladies and gentlemen. He said, I would ask for your prayers for wisdom in my life, of leadership and discernment and understanding and knowledge for influence over the nation's senior leaders that I get to rub shoulders with each day. My desire is that my life is to maximize my impact on people in our country for the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in this article, that states, what seems apparent, said the American Center for Law and Justice, is that the MRFF, that is talking about one that is the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, that literally is led by Mickey Weinstein, cares less for religious freedom than they do ridding the military of religion and its followers, specifically Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a sad position in America where you can have the atheists and the agnostics and those that are of other aberrant religious beliefs that are anti-Christian. They can come in and somehow think they can in some way modulate the system and rid the system of Christians in general. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question and comment, please.
Oh, I just had a comment, Dr. Youngblood. I appreciate you taking my call. I've listened a lot, and we shouldn't be surprised that Christianity is under attack. Like, the Bible tells us it's going to be under attack. I think now, more so, what we should focus on is strengthening the family unit and teaching our children apologetics so that they can be strong and defend the faith and pray for the people, because they don't know any better. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't understand where we come from. They don't understand why we believe what we believe. And, you know, and when they hate us, you know, Christ said they hate us, you know, he hated them first. So I think we should focus more on strengthening our core beliefs and being able to lovingly explain where we come from, because it is a narrow road and not everyone's meant to be saved. And I just wanted to say that, and I appreciate what you say. And
wonderful. If you'd hang on for just a moment, we can have a few words of dialogue and discussion. You're partially right, if I can say that, and not be in a condemning fashion. That's not meant at all. I appreciate you calling your stand and willingness to participate in the dialogue and discussion. But yes, we need to do both. It's not a matter of one or the other. We need, you are aware and may not recognize that across the nation, many, if not most, Christians are ignorant of what's happening in the society. They do not understand. They do not understand the barrage that's coming at us as Christians. And yes, we need to recognize the nation that we're living in. We need to recognize that which is coming against us. And you're exactly right. Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. But yet we have the responsibility to be salt and light. We're in a society, and in the society in which we're living in, we need to participate as salt and light, just as the general that I just spoke of. He's simply wanting God to give him wisdom as a Christian to impact the lives that he's around. And yes, not all people will be saved, but yet the scripture is very, very clear that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all, that whosoever will may come. It is a volitional choice for an individual to say yes to Christ or no to Christ. And those that have said yes to Jesus Christ, we need to all of us recognize our ultimate responsibility to be salt and light. That means we're in a darkened society, and in that darkened society, we're light. That means in a decaying society, we become the salt that preserves that decaying society. And one of the things that we need to have, and I'm thankful for your question on that, we need to have more churches and pastors, and I don't say this trying to denigrate preachers, but we need to have more pastors that will stand in the pulpit and grow a backbone and take a stand on the truth of the Word of God and expound the truth of the Word of God, bringing in illustrations of what's happening in society, so that the Christians, when they walk out of the door of that church, they recognize and know that we're facing an enemy. Listen very carefully. If I were to tell you that when you walk out of the door, there's going to be an enemy that's going to try to destroy your life, an enemy that's going to try to undermine and tear down what you do, but I don't explain to you who that enemy is, how you can recognize that enemy, then I have done you a disservice, because you don't know what to look for. I believe that as Christians, we have the responsibility to warn the people, just as the watchman on the wall in Isaiah 58, were to cry with a deep-throated, loud voice, warning, 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 danger ahead.
No, I agree, sir, and 100%. It's just the big thing that I think a lot of us get caught up on is, you know, we're kind of like a fear. Like, we worry about the world that it's crumbling, and I mean, we expect it, and I do agree we got to be salt and light, and we do have to be strong, but I think focusing, it's a family unit. Right now is the best thing we can do, and we can grow up and be glad that we're being persecuted.
We need to grow in the faith and recognize. Yes, we need to grow in the faith and at the same time recognize that there is an enemy, and that enemy is a common enemy. It's a common foe, and his name is Satan himself, and it's operating through the hearts and the lives of the agnostics, the antagonists, those that reject Christ and do not want to see you and me and others in the Christian faith reaching out and expanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. I really appreciate your call today, and I pray that you'll have a blessed weekend. Thank you for calling, and God bless you as you continue to serve the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, as we think about what's happening and as our caller just brought so clearly to the forefront, we as Christians, as Christian parents, as Christians in our churches, we need to be training men and women, boys and girls, in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that in the scripture it says, know this also, that in the last days perilous, that means dangerous, dark, difficult, deadly times shall come. And it goes on to talk about what the world will be like. And then in that fifth verse, it talks about having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And therefore, we need to be very, very careful. Please, 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 let me urge you. Please do not just assume that the church doors will always be open and that you may worship when you please, where you please, and if you please, because someday that will not be the case in the United States of America. I can go to my archives of documents and prove to you that around the globe, churches are closing by the hundreds and Christians are being persecuted by the millions simply because of their faith. Don't you dare believe, ladies and gentlemen, that that's not possible and perhaps a potential for the United States of America. May I remind us, cities and counties and states and municipalities are attempting today to limit churches and to limit ministries, even to limit Bible studies in the homes. Here's an article that I think brings it to full fruition that we might understand. Many times you say, I'm saved, I've joined the church, but I hadn't been there 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Here's an article that says, a woman is upset after the church revokes her membership perks over attendance. Dateline Charlotte, North Carolina. If you stop going to church, should you still get the membership perks, the article says? Some people say yes, but the churches across the area are taking a hardline stance and making non-membership, non-attending members an inactive membership, and is causing some controversy. People who have their burial plots all planned out are learning that the church membership isn't an automatic renewal. This article says, we were told, the lady speaking, we were told that we were no longer listed on the cemetery diagram of there where that everybody would be marked. It said, Lincolnton resident Rebecca Powell, that's Lincolnton, Illinois or North Carolina, that is, said, we were marked as inactive members. Some church offers free real estate in their cemetery to members, but recently church members are changing their bylaws. The issue that I'm seeking and seeing is that people will join a church and there will no clear definition that relates to the membership. And it goes on to talk about this. Dear lady said, well, my membership's been there many, many years, and my daddy was ordained there, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Christianity is not a hand-me-down religion. Christianity is not a religion that you can say, well, I've just got an insurance policy and my membership is over there, but I hadn't been there 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I have my ticket to get into heaven, but I'm not concerned about the church. I'm not concerned about Jesus. I'm not concerned about giving. I'm not concerned about impacting others' lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are multitudes today that have that philosophy. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's the philosophy you have, let me urge you, check up and see if you be in the faith. Check up and see if you're saved. If you think somehow, some way that you can say yes to Jesus and never go back to church, and yet you should still have the rights of membership, there's a problem with that. I think every church needs to have a cleanup on the membership rolls, and those that have not attended in years need to be removed. It's not some guarantee because you've got a church membership that you go into heaven. That heaven relationship ought to be based on a relationship to Jesus Christ. Christians, ladies and gentlemen, ought not to be viewed as second-class citizens under some constitutional act that they have in their cities and states and towns. Here's an article that says, town changes rules to ban the church from the civic center. And the article simply says that a church had a new startup church needed a place to meet. They started meeting just on a week-to-week basis in the Civic Center. They decided it was growing and they needed to remain there to grow the church. They wanted a lease contract and the city refused to do so. They will allow anybody else to be in it. It's in Edisto Beach, South Carolina. They will allow anybody else to be in there, but it's a church was a no-no. They said, no, we can't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, the state of Florida, don't know if you know this or not, but in 1998, we passed what is called the Religious Liberties Restoration Act. In 1998, it prevents any city, any municipality from doing something that will arbitrarily and capriciously say that a church is shut out and yet allow all other organizations and institutions and civic groups to meet. You can't do that. It's illegal. And may I say, many churches do not understand that. We want to allow the state and federal and local governments and municipalities to push us around and say that you can't do that. We need to stand up for what is constitutional rights and our constitutional privilege and religious liberties and the freedoms that we have therein. Here's one where a retired pastor was threatened for eviction from his homeowners association because he was having Bible studies in his home. And I'm thankful that there's a religious organization, a Christian defense organization, that's jumped in to defend him on that. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is happening thousands of times across America. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the church is under attack. And as such, we need to know, we need to understand that we have the responsibility of standing and speaking and not sitting down. Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man, Acts chapter 5, verse 29. He had been beaten, thrown in prison, and told him he couldn't preach on the street. He took a stand. And I say that as Christians, we need to stand up, speak up, be seen, be heard, and not be second-class citizens. Thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you on the air next time as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.